With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This NASCAR Bristol 2024 weekend betting recap edition of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, NHL, college basketball, NASCAR, and more. Sign up today using promo code RACESGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by SGPN subscribers only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter and up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off of your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Drivers, start your
strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Oh boy, do we have plenty of racing things for you to talk, for us to talk about and for you too, I suppose. What a weekend, Bristol, baby. Cody, this was not only exciting because it was Bristol, but it was our birthday weekend, essentially. I capped it off started off on Friday, you capped it off on Sunday, but we had a great weekend of racing in between. So much going on the track, but first of all, I didn't get to officially say it on the show, so happy birthday to you, Cody. I hope you enjoyed your day.
Thank you. I did very much. Are you not entertained, Rod? My goodness, what a weekend of racing we had.
They said it, too. It's the last great Coliseum, because it was. Justin checking in saying happy birthday to both of you. Thank you. Yes,
thank you.
JDK saying I love shitty tires.
Me too. Hey, we're going to get into it, but again, were you not entertained? Come on.
Hey, listen, I'm looking at myself and I'm seeing Joaquin Phoenix just go into the crowd, like, you know, saying to everybody, why are you not entertained?
Are you not? Exactly. Yeah. So, Walter, man, still bummed, had Gibbs 18-1. By the way, hope you had a good birthday to both of us, he's saying. So thank you, Walter. We appreciate it. Long weekend for me, and a little bit of a long one for you too, but I did not catch the full both races, unfortunately, and I have not had time to watch all of them, but I was in and out throughout both races. Very exciting. We actually had a really good weekend for betting as far as our card goes, especially for what that was, and what that was we're going to get into. We'll go through the bets here. I don't know that we can say that we capped it perfectly and we hit all these bets because we knew what was going to happen. Because if you knew what was going to happen, I'd like for you to share with me the Powerball numbers, because you're obviously from the future. And I mean, that was just, it was insane how this all panned out. So, but it was great racing. The entertainment level was just to the max. I mean, NASCAR has hit the ball out of the park this season, right? You've got the Netflix show. You come in, I believe Daytona might have been different because of the Monday delayed race, which didn't help. But I believe the rest of the races have all been over 4 million viewers. I don't think I've seen TV numbers for yesterday yet. But it's been a great start to the season. You know, you get the Daytona 500. That's always exciting. You go to Atlanta, you get the three wide finish. You go to Las Vegas, and it's a last lap battle down to the end. Phoenix wasn't a bad race, right? Some people were complaining, but it was all right. And then you come into this weekend and you get what we got. And again, what that was, and if we'll ever see that again, I doubt. But it's been a hell of an entertaining start to the season. And Rod, you know, we've commended the schedule makers for being different styles of tracks and going different places. And now you got the biggest track on the circuit, COTA. It's a road course, going to be completely different than anything else we've seen this year. And it's just the fun is going to continue going forward. So this has been one of the best NASCAR seasons in recent history, no doubt. We're, again, different winners for each week. Denny won the Coliseum and, you know, the Clash race, and now won this weekend. But that was not a points race. So each points race has been a different winner. And, man, a lot of storylines. It's been really fun.
Five different track styles, five different winners. We're going to a sixth different track style in six different weeks. This is everything we thought it was going to be going into this season. And I, for one, am so happy about it because, again, it just... And honestly, so you talk about people, if you knew this was going to happen, please share with us what's going to happen. I want the almanac, the sports almanac that you have, that you brought back from the future, because that's definitely what you need. But here's the thing. I've been listening to other people's shows, and you know me, I don't listen to anybody's shows until we've done ours, because I definitely don't want to get, and sometimes I don't even listen to them until the week's over, because I don't want any sort of outside influence. I just want to go with what we talk about and what I've done the research for. And so I've been listening to other people's shows. Listen, nobody had this pegged. Nobody predicted this type of tire wear.
The teams didn't see this. I mean, no. Goodyear held a press conference during the race because they didn't see it coming. I mean, it really was just completely out of left field. But, man, again, the entertainment factor, like, I understand, you know, we probably would have handicapped that race completely different, right? Had we known. Again, it worked out nice for us because we ended up cashing quite a few bets. But, I mean, if we'd known, we'd have handicapped it different, right? And then, you know, we're coming back here in the fall and it's probably going to be something completely different. Likely, we're going to have to throw this race entirely out unless they just say, hey, it's the same tire package. But even then, the weather is going to be different. So, I don't know. It's gonna be crazy looking back on this and seeing what it is going forward. But it was fun. JDK saying best short track race he's ever seen. Hard to argue too much with that. Jeff Jeter saying visibly slower this week, but it's awesome. I believe Jeff was at the race, if I've got that correct. JDK just got a sticker that I sent him. Rod,
let's go.
I still have some more stickers for the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to. Send it to me, and I will mail you a sticker. Phila saying Kez looked great. Would love to see him close the show. Yes, we would have too, of course. Rod did have the Hamlin outright, so that planned out. But a couple of our outrights were really good throughout the race. Ty Gibbs, we're going to talk about him. Keselowski, obviously. You know, you end up with the three oldest drivers in the field finishing 1, 2, 3 because of the type of race this turned into. So, not too surprising there.
Yeah, and honestly, again, this is you can take this whole thing and throw it out the window afterwards, because you're not going to be able to use this race for anything. And look, and I said it too when we were talking about it. This is I know this is not on dirt anymore, but you can't even take this and compare it to the other spring races, because obviously there's a whole different situation going on. It's not during the night, so you can't use any of the night races. Like, this was a standalone race that you were not going to be able to say, take a look back at his track history. Now, we did, because what else do we have to go off of? But we kind of threw in a lot about, you know, just what was going on. And, yeah, I mean, everybody was scratching their head at this point. When you have to go down to your local America's Tires and buy an entirely new set of tires to finish the race, you know you're in trouble. So that's really what it is.
But, yeah, I thought they were going to be calling up Walmart trying to get all the Goodyears around in the area just to finish the race. But
no, really, this is NASCAR. Again, no, I'm really calling you because I need tires. No, I'm really NASCAR.
This is not a prank, I promise you. But no, it was a good weekend. So
Very good weekend. All right, and look, and that was just the cup race. We're going to talk about the the truck race too that actually happened. So we'll do that. But first, let me tell you about our SGPN merch store. We got 15% off of everything in the merch store. Use the promo code MADNESS. Get yourself some amazing racing gambling podcast merchandise. You can get yourself a coffee mug. You can get yourself a hoodie. You can get yourself a shirt. You can get yourself whatever they got there that you love the best. Get that for you. I know that hoodies are not necessarily the thing anymore, but get yourself a nice little racing gambling polo. There's beautiful polos out there for you as well. So make sure you get that. Hit the store. Use promo code MADNESS. Let's also tell you about our subscribers-only March Madness contest. The contest, completely free to enter, just like everything else on the SGPN. You just have to sit through a couple of me reading ads to you in order to get to it, but that's all right. It's open only to subscribers, though, of the SGPN shows, which means if you're subscribed to our show, you are eligible. And hey, by the way, that's free, too. But Rod, no, it's free. Go do it right now. For every SGPN show that you are subscribed to, you're going to get a bonus credit as well to use in the contest. Guys, I'm telling you, there's
a lot of shows. Rod, I did this last night. I went through and screenshot of me being subscribed to every show. And I'm going to look and see if they've updated my credits yet. I don't know if they've gone through it, but it's a lot of credits to start the season because there's a lot of shows on this network. And you should be subscribed to all of them anyways.
Yeah, you should. It's a bankroll-style contest. The winner will take all of it for a $1,000 prize, or $2,000 if you're subscribed to Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. So a kick in the bump it up a little bit if you're part of the Patreon. So you want in on this, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. We talk a lot about Cut here on the show. We love Cut. It is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is brand new. It's a better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events, so long as it's got a verifiable outcome. It's got tons of social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Not to mention, Cut offers the lowest VIG, and it's fully customizable, which means you can create your own bets, like Zane Smith's finishing position, which you hammer the over every single time in a truck race. I don't care anymore. Take Cody up on that bet every single time. He's going to lose. Cut handles the payment side of things, too, so you never got to chase anybody down for payments ever again. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, so much more. Rewards, get cash back every single time you make a bet against your friend or other users. Don't worry, we got plenty of Cut bets for you for the course of the week. So download Cut today in the App Store. Head over to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. You know, we love us some Underdog Fantasy on this show. We used Underdog Fantasy this last week to rack you up some money because a lot of our underdog plays hit. We love it. We'll give it to you on Friday as well. We'll load you up with a whole slate full. We even gave you trucks this time as well. Those ones were fun to bet on or to put on as well. So make sure you get down on that. All you got to do, pick better or worse than the finishing position, the projected finishing position for the drivers, or if you're playing in another sport, better than or higher than or lower than, look for those spicy chilies too. They're going to bump up that multiplier so you can win more money. Sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our promo code RACESGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as that instant pick 'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where play Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Well, Cody, we spent a lot of the intro part of it talking about the cup race, but there was, in fact, a truck race, which I dare say we actually did a little better on the truck race than we did the cup race, even though we didn't have the outright for the truck race.
As tends to be the case, really. If you're not listening to the truck and Xfinity races, you're missing out, because we just seem to have a different type of beat on these series for whatever reason, and it's worked out pretty well for us lately.
Yeah, it certainly has. And honestly, too, this truck race was not nearly as, I don't want to say chaotic, because there was points in it where there was a little bit of chaos going on, but it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought. And in fact, I think what happened was that initial wreck in the very beginning there made everybody go, oh, yeah, let's calm down a little bit. And then they ran a better race the rest of the way through.
Yeah, there was still a lot of slipping and sliding from what I saw, but yeah, definitely was not as chaotic, obviously, as Sunday ended up being. Rod, Kyle Busch is in the race. Kyle Busch is $5,000 more than anyone else on DraftKings for salary wise, which we said, don't do it, don't play it. Ended up being the way to go. He was what, plus 120 to win this race, plus 140, something like that. He's 1 for 3 now winning this season. So if you're betting Kyle Busch to win these races, it's probably not worked out too well for you, unfortunately. So, man, I don't know. Joe, we're definitely seeing a pattern here of it's harder for him, and it's been that way the last couple of years. He's not just coming in, sweeping these five races like he used to, leading every lap. It's a different truck series than he used to be. So, man, we took advantage of other guys' numbers getting pushed down, and it's been beautiful. And unfortunately, Kyle can only run two more races this year where we'll get the push down numbers. But that's okay, because it's been working out really well for us.
Yeah, and I mean, Kyle Busch, too, led 105 laps of this. He was the second biggest lap leader behind Christian Eckes, who actually did win this race, by the way. Neither one of us had him to win. We definitely knew he was going to do well, but boy, I didn't see a win coming out of this.
In retrospect.
I know. I did the same thing.
It lined up to where, why did we not play him?
Yeah. I thought the whole race long, I was like, you know, we talked about him right at the beginning of the show, and neither one of us had him as an outright. I don't get it. But yeah, Christian Eckes leading 144 laps, had the pole in this one. And Kyle Busch won both stages. But like we said, something happens. It's a little Ty Majeski-esque, these races, in which Kyle Busch doesn't get the win. Now he's got second place finish in the race, but yeah, it definitely wasn't. So we did tell you stay away from him as an outright. We said he was probably, could he do it? Absolutely. Should you bet it? Probably not, but you know, if you really needed to cover yourself, do it. But yeah, that's what we were after on that one. So yeah, I mean, anymore, what do we do? I mean, Kyle Busch is in the field. It's not an auto bet.
Yeah, no, it's not like, I mean, it used to be, I used to max bet Kyle Busch to win the truck race, the Xfinity race, whatever I was allowed to put on it, I was putting on it, because he would just come down and sweep all five truck races, all five Xfinity races. And it's been different the last couple of years. KBM kind of got worse towards the end. It's gone away now. Doesn't have a guy like Rudy Fugel there anymore. There's stiff competition in these truck series trucks now. There's other teams that are looking very good, obviously. You know, the McAnally trucks looking pretty damn good. They had what, four drivers in the top? They had first, third, and fifth place. Yeah, so three drivers in the top five in this race. So yeah, pretty solid by them. But let's get into the bets, Rod. I had Christian Eckes, which obviously should have took more of him, but had him over Ty Majeski, minus 115. The piano fell out of the sky, Rod.
Hold on,
But Ty Majeski was so fast, Rod. If you're watching on the YouTube, Rod stood up. I think he was getting the stink away from his take on Majeski this week. But look, he was going to be fast. He was going to look good. He was fast. He looked good. And then the piano fell out of the sky. He can't be trusted. I've been trying to tell people this. It's coming to the point where I might have made more money fading Ty Majeski in my betting career than any other bet that I've placed. So I'm going to continue to do it. He's going to continue to get all this love on short tracks. Maybe it'll bite me eventually and he figures it out and wins one and whatever. But in the meantime, I've made enough to cover those losses if they ever come. So Christian Eckes obviously wins the race. Majeski doesn't finish the race. You know, officially, I believe it was an engine.
He bowed out.
They list him as an engine issue, but he had other issues. And then obviously the engine gave out and the piano fell, landed right in his engine apparently, and just can't be trusted.
So, dear Ty Majeski, I love you as a truck driver. I want great things for you in your career. And someday when we meet, I would like to have a beer with you. But for now, I'm going to have to go the way of the when we call your name.
I love saying Ty Majeski's. You know how much money Ty Majeski's made me by betting against it? It's been cut, cleaned up. I was 2 for 3 on the cut bets. Zane Smith did get me. We'll get into that in a minute. But 2 for 3 on the cut bets. The Ty Majeski one was the most popular one, so that worked out in my favor. I tried to tell you all, but here we are.
Yeah, Cody does know a thing or two about Ty Majeski.
I believe, as JDK had said in the Discord, that you know, maybe there was just too much tire pressure and it was getting to Majeski, and that's how we ended up here.
And that's how we ended up here. So again, I'm done, Ty. I'm done. I'm sorry. Your name will not be on my list anymore. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe from now on you'll start winning because I'm off you. So we'll do that. But somebody that I was on that I am so glad I was on. Listen, when you have an 8-1 for a guy like Matt Crafton for a top five, that's better than Kyle Busch's to win the race number. I said it. You had to. You had to grab it because Matt Crafton. I know everybody sleeps on Matt Crafton because, hell, Matt Crafton probably sleeps on Matt Crafton. He may be even sleeping half of that race, but I guarantee you right now, I was very glad at the end of that. He had put together such a solid. He started 20th. A terrible, terrible qualifying effort for Matt Crafton. But boy, he was just methodical in the way that he got himself up through the field. He wasn't even anywhere near the top 10 at the end of stage one. And then by the end of stage two, he was in seventh place, but he kept chipping. And then the Majeski thing kind of helped out along a little bit there too toward the end. And he just, like I said, he just kept chipping. And boy, by the end of it, there he was. And what I love the most is that he did it and nobody was even, all of a sudden they were like, oh, would you look at Matt Crafton? And I'm like, oh yeah, look at Matt Crafton. 8-1 for a top five. I'll take that.
It was so like methodically slow moving up the leaderboard. Like I said, I didn't get to see the whole race, but I was trying to check in, watch a little bit of TV when I could, check the standings on the app and everything, and just slowly working his way up there. And that's what these veteran types of guys do on a track like this. It wasn't easy to handle these trucks. He took care of business. 8-1. I mean, Christian Eckes wins the race. He was only 6-1 to if you bet on him. Kyle Busch finishes second. He was plus 140. You know, Hyman's up sixth place. He was plus 600. Like, you hit a bigger bet to the top five than just the outright. Again, that's why you don't just bet outrights. I know some people who bet on the sport that don't ever bet on outrights because it's fun and we love hitting the outright, obviously. But that's not where you're making the majority of your profit. And, you know, every once in a while we'll hit a big one like we did last time with Carruth, you know, at 70-1, but that's not going to happen a ton. And these are the types of bets that really take it home for you. So love to see that Crafton hit for you at 8-1. I had Lane Riggs over Nick Sanchez. Another one that where did Sanchez? Sanchez ended up having some struggles. Did he have a tire go down late or did he spin out? I can't remember what happened.
He got collected. He got collected. He started second, finished 17th. But that second place, he dropped like a rock almost immediately.
Yeah, he wasn't. Lap three, he was already way back. I mean, he went like squirrely up top and fell back like an anchor. And Riggs had a solid day. I mean, 10th place, not really indicative of where he ran a majority of the day. I know he was only 10th in stage two, but I felt like every time I looked, he was kind of up there in the top five, kind of hanging out, doing well. And, you know, again, I didn't listen to the entire broadcast, but I heard him multiple times talking about Lane Riggs and, oh, short track guy and all this and that. And he showed up. He beat Nick Sanchez. So got cashed that one at even money there over on Caesars.
Yeah, Sanchez's day was just not even good. And again, for the broadcast even, they would talk about him and then they would show where he was at. And I was like, why are you guys even talking about him? Like, he's not even doing anything. Yeah, he started on the outside pole, but like, that was it. There was nothing left after that.
He was never really in contention after that. And then late troubles, but I think that Riggs had him a majority of the day anyways.
He certainly did. All right, I'll tell you my next bet, but let me first tell you about Game Time. We love buying tickets with Game Time because we hate buying tickets everywhere else. Game Time makes it so easy for you to buy last-minute tickets. They've got all the best deals for them. They've got your guarantee. They got your back. When you buy this on Game Time, when you buy tickets, you're going to get them tickets on time. You're going to get them guaranteed. They're authentic. So much better than buying them anywhere else. You got lower fees, you got better prices, which means that you're going to get clear competitive pricing. And if you find a ticket that's got a better price on it, they're going to make up 110% of the difference for you. So it won't even cost you anything else to do more shopping on Game Time. Not to mention it's made for your phone. Everything. You get your tickets on your phone. You get to do all of your business on your phone. They'll even send you a picture of the actual view from your seat, from where you're going to be sitting. So me, I hate buying tickets, but I love Game Time. So you might want to get down there and purchase all of your tickets from now on over there. Snag the tickets without the stress. Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code CFBX for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Lowest prices, last minute tickets guaranteed. All right, so my next bet, I had Raja Carruth as a top five truck over there on Superbook. Honestly, Carruth started sixth, and he wasn't necessarily a top five truck for most of the day. He was in the top 10. He definitely had the speed to be in and around the leaders, but he wasn't going to win, or he wasn't even going to be a top five. He's lucky he got to sixth, to be completely honest with you. To eighth, rather, to be completely honest with you. I don't know that he would have stuck around inside the top 10 were not for a couple of late issues. But yeah, I mean, look, we were just riding the momentum. And honestly, an eighth place finish, not that far outside of the top five for Raja. Yeah. And so another good solid run for that 71 truck. And again, I know that, you know, it's not a win every single week, but at the same time, guy like this, you really do have to compliment his driving style, because starting in sixth place, Raja Carruth never really started in the top 10 very much last season. If you really paid attention to his starting positions, it was never really that far up. So he's consistently running with the faster trucks in the series, and he's hanging with them. Now, again, did he run with them all day like that? No, but
most notably, he's finishing the races. I mean, we saw, and that was part of the handicap on him at Vegas. We saw the speed last year. Like, he had speed. We knew he had ability, but consistently, I mean, honestly, Dean Thompson is kind of a guy that's pretty consistently fast, and he wrecks every single week, so you can't bet on him. But Carruth, we've seen him put it together now, get the finishes, which has been nice, and also helped you cash a different bet on Raja.
It did. Hold on real quick. Shout out to my brother who's watching in the chat right now. What's up, little brother? And then JDK says he can't handle the pressure. So, Majeski can't handle the pressure. Thanks, JDK. Yeah, but Carruth, and then so I ended up taking him as a top five, but I also said that I think he would win Group E over on Caesars at plus 220 that consisted of Rhodes, Sanchez, and Riggs, and he actually won that group. That eighth place finish got him ahead of Riggs in 10th, which was the closest finisher to that. Rhodes finishing 16th and Sanchez finishing 17th. Really disappointing day for Ben Rhodes right off of the jump. I mean, he had an issue early on and kind of took him out of contention. And yeah, I mean, Ben Rhodes started 16th, finished 16th, just a very pedestrian day for him. And then we talked about Sanchez earlier, dropping from 2nd to 17th on the day. But yeah, Raja beat that group. So plus 220 on him to win that one. That was a fun one to sweat for a little while, because for a little while, I thought Riggs was going to come up and grab that from him. So I was like,
I thought Riggs was going to be the one to get that. But yeah, he didn't. So great call by you on Raja. And again, he's going to be a guy we're going to continue to talk about and we're going to continue to watch. I had Grant Enfinger top five plus 200. I had Corey Heim top five plus 100. Enfinger just wasn't quite the Enfinger we've expected. Maybe I jumped too soon at maybe the equipment's not as, I don't know. After Vegas, I was like, okay, little hope here. Maybe the equipment's not so bad. Then we get to Bristol this week and it's like, okay, maybe the equipment isn't as good as we thought it was. So probably going to pump the brakes a little bit on Enfinger again. Watch him a few more weeks before I get into any more betting on him and kind of see how that truck's holding up and if Vegas was a little bit of a fluke or what the deal was there. But Corey Heim ends up finishing in sixth place, one spot out of the top five. Don't care. I would make this bet a million other times. Even money for him to finish in the top five when he has been as good as he has. I think – I don't remember what the stat was, but it's like he's been top 10 in 24 straight truck races now. Or something like that. And you know, going back to last season and including this season, I believe, I don't think he's finished outside the top eight more than three times. And that includes Super Speedway racing in there. So it's just been overly impressive with him. If you get this type of number because there's Cup Series guys in the field, great. You take it because Corey Heim is worth it every time. Didn't cash this time, but again, a bet I would place next time.
But he had a heroic run from 15th to 6th anyways. I mean, he had trouble in qualifying and managed to find his way up to 6th. And I say that because, you know, you thought, well, that's not a huge jump. Nine spots, that's not a huge jump. Yeah, well, at Bristol, it can be a pretty large jump. So definitely like that. And so my next one, Cody, why can't I read this next one? I'm trying to figure out
what's been erased from the record because – I tried to fucking tell you, but you didn't listen to me. So here we are. Now you have to have the shame of talking about why you placed this extremely stupid bet.
Cody, are you my wife? I swear I hear this somewhere else.
Already talked
before.
About this, Rod. Huh. I tried to tell you. You didn't listen. And now look what happened. You see how this works?
Ty Majeski top three plus 220. I don't care. Look, I swear to God, like I said, I had every good intention. And Majeski had every good intention because Majeski was a top three truck, or he wasn't a top three truck, but he was definitely a top four truck for both of the stages. He finished fourth in both stages. Just could not get it done. Yes, the piano fell, and it fell right on Majeski.
Piano was always going to happen. The piano happened.
And it was just him. Like, it wasn't like it was anything. Like, it literally just
there was 18 other
Thor
Sport trucks out there, and none of them had engine issues. So. No, well, Thor Sport's running, like, half the field, I think.
I know, but the truck stepped out on just him. Like, he lost it, and that was it. And that it wasn't even anybody that it was his fault. His alone. So,
that's, hey. JDK. The piano effect.
Right here. Can't handle the pressure. Yeah. No, he
can't handle the pressure. So hopefully listen to me on that one and listen to Rod on the rest of them because he was pretty smart on the rest of them. But I had Stuart Friesen top 5, 6-1. This was kind of my crafting shot. Also had him to win Group G over on Caesars plus 280. This one had life at points. You know, it kind of started out the race. He started 23rd and it was like, eh, you know, and then he all of a sudden he's climbed up and it's like, okay, maybe we got maybe a little hope here. And he falls back. Then he has the late deal with Sanchez, and I've watched that a few times, and I had bet on Stewart here, but I think Stewart was at fault, and he didn't seem to think so because he went after Sanchez afterwards. But yeah, ends up with the 22nd place. He doesn't cash the top five. He doesn't win the group either, plus 280. In fact, he might have finished worst in that group of everyone. So just did not go well for Friesen. Again, it's not that I had faith that all of a sudden you turn things around. The only thing I'm thinking is you're getting some long shot odds here. He's been good in the past. A track that's going to tend to lean a little bit more towards the veteran guys. That's what you're hoping for. It had life at points, but overall, I don't think it really was going to hit.
Yeah, I mean, and for Friesen, like you said, there was like a one or two times during the race where you thought, okay. And then even the broadcast was like, oh, hey, look at Stuart Friesen out there. And then it was like, where? He was there, but now where is he? And he wasn't there anymore. So, yeah, I mean, it won't be the last time we say his name, but we're going to have to do a lot like we're going to have to do with some of these other guys and just sort of, like you said, pump the brakes. And we're going to go to Coda now. So that's even a completely different monster. So we're going to even be pumping the brakes harder on some of these guys. So for sure. Yep. I love you, Friesen. But once again, we're going to have to hold off on you. All right, we're going to come back, but I want to tell you about Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you're going to get an extra entry into the bracket contest. Oh, yeah, by the way, this contest is free. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure you register now. Don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app now. And, research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can do that too, but, you know, download it. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off of your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. For as much as I was completely wrong on Ty Majeski, I was not completely wrong on one Zane Smith. I beat the drum. I defended myself. I stood on the mountain with a shield in my hand, fending off people telling me not to bet Zane Smith as a top three truck. Zane Smith finished in third place as a top three truck at plus 260. I said it. I knew the 91 truck is not his old 38 truck. I knew that it was going to be difficult for him. He started in seventh place. Guess what? He remembered how to get around Bristol because that is what he does. In fact, Zane Smith did lead a lap in this one as well under the weird cycle that was. But even still, that team scraped and they scrapped and they managed to find a way to get all the way up to the third position at the end. They were in fifth place at the end of both stages, which means they were a top five truck. But boy, I was telling you right now, I was, because Crafton was ahead of Smith. And I was like, you guys got to flip. I was going to get on the radio and
you
be like,
you almost did it again where you, because there's been a couple of times where you've had the top five and the top three, but you flipped them. Your top three guy finishes fourth. Your top four or top five guy finishes third with show cashes, but ruins the other bet. And I was like, oh boy, here we go again.
I swear to God, I wanted to get on the radio and call a F1 team swap. I was like, all right, we're going to need you to let him go in front. Like, why? I'm in third. I know. Just trust
Don't
me on
worry
this one.
About it.
Just do what you need to do. But it's like my bigger bet is on Crafton to finish in the top five, so it doesn't matter. You can go. But yeah
but Zane this ended Smith up working out nicely for you. Great call on Zane Smith. I was definitely wrong here. Maybe a little bit of an overreaction to one race at Vegas where I was thoroughly unimpressed with him in that truck. I've got some comments on him in the truck race here or in the cup race here in a few. So we'll talk about that when we get there. But yeah, you had the right call on this. We know Zane Smith is a talented truck driver. You got him at a good number. So it was a great call. I had Jake Garcia top five, 9-1. This was kind of a dart throw. This was a, you know, break in case of emergency. Maybe we get some chaos. I believe in the talent Jake Garcia has. We haven't seen that talent yet this year, Rod, which has been unfortunate. This is starting to feel like Taylor Gray of last season when I kept throwing these darts and he wasn't cashing them. Now Taylor Gray started to take that mantle. So I don't know if I'm just a year ahead on some of these guys sometimes. Maybe I need to put him on my taxi squad and bring him back out next year. But missed on the Jake Garcia here thing here. 9-1 again. You're kind of just hoping for some circumstances to fall correctly, taking a little bit of a dart throw and really just missed. I mean, he ends up in 14th, so it's not like he had a bad day. But I don't know that he was really ever much higher than that.
Yeah, he didn't want to be on Daniel Dye's camera, so he finished one spot below Daniel Dye. But yeah, I mean, again, yeah, it Boy, just
that's Michael Waltrip's favorite thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let's cut to Daniel Dye's camera. All right, Mikey, we got you. We'll do it again.
Daniel Dye's not even racing in this race. I don't care. Let's look at Daniel Dye's camera. That's all I want to see.
Let's not, shall we? all right. I had my next one. Speaking of Taylor Gray, I had him over Nick Sanchez. Very, very bullish on this one. I definitely had a good day for Taylor Gray, and boy, did he ever deliver. He started third, which impressive as hell out of Taylor Gray. Now, did he finish third? No, he finished in seventh place, but a great run for that 17 truck inside of the top 10 in both stages. Actually, I'm sorry, at the end of stage one, was not in the end at the end of stage two, but found his way back in there. That 17 truck, that's got some speed, my friends. Keep an eye on Taylor Gray. I said it earlier, and I think we both kind of said it earlier in the season. We were high on what Taylor Gray could accomplish, and boy, we're right. So he did finish over Sanchez for sure, and this one was never close. Like this one always had Taylor in the lead.
Yeah, we talked about Sanchez earlier and how he really didn't have it from the start. But yeah, impressive qualifying run from him. Finishes one spot behind Corey Heim, his teammate, you know, almost in the same truck. That's the top guy in the series, right? The championship favorite, all this. And Taylor's right there with him. So gonna be good to see him continue to progress. Again, very young kid. I think he's only 19. But we've been on him since the start. So love to see it. Glad this one cashed out for you. Outrights, I had Corey Heim 6-1. Again, I still think Heim at 6-1 is in general a value play. You're not going to get that when there's not Cup Series guys in the field. A non-Cup Series guy won this race, as we sort of alluded to, probably would or not. That's how we wanted to approach the betting. Again, we said that Kyle Busch could easily go lead every lap and win the race, but we thought that there would still be value on other guys. Didn't end up being Heim, but I would take that again. Enfinger 12-1. Already talked about him again. I think 12-1 was okay number based on his track history, based on what you were hoping for. We just didn't quite get it. Ben Rhodes 40-1, not really anywhere to be found. He ended up wrecked at one point, a rough day. But Ben Rhodes at 40-1 any week is a value play. I think if you continue to see numbers like this, you got to take stabs because he's the Joey Logano of the Truck Series. Like he will just pop up and randomly win a race that nobody expects him to. It's going to be at way too long of a number when he does it. So I'm going to keep trying to throw darts on him randomly and hope to hit that random wheel whenever it stops on a Ben Rhodes win.
So, yeah, I don't know who I had as an outright because the computer that has the dock on it got crashed. So.
Oh, God. I forgot you took him to be the outright, too. Jesus.
Yeah, I had Majeski at 10-1. So.
Beep. All right, play the beep and move on. Let's get out of this
truck race. Let's get out of this truck race. Let's go on to the cup race. That was insane. I mean, we talked a little bit about it, obviously, and the biggest story of the day is tires. It's not just tires, but it's tires exclamation mark, because not only were we on a high tire wear day, all of a sudden we were on like a cheese grater. I mean, I know that it was used before, but literally these guys were running across thumbtacks the entire race, just ripping stuff off of their tires, taking it to the cords in most cases.
Yeah, I mean, there was cords all over the track by the end of the day.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
it really was insane. I don't know. Should we just kind of wrap? We've already kind of talked about the race.
Yeah,
kind of
let's
just
go
rapidly
through
go through these, because I don't know that. I mean, again, we had a nice day. I want to cover the bets like we always do, but you know, to say that we were overly right on anything, we could point out a few things here and there where, you know, but really that was such a shit show and such a not expected that it's hard to be like, oh yeah, nailed this angle perfectly, because I don't know. I will say, I mean, one angle we did nail was Kyle Busch was going to struggle. That was in a different manner than we thought probably, because, you know, it's tough to tell who had fast cars. I think that Denny Hamlin was fast because we saw that early. I think that, well, I think all the Toyotas really were fast in general. Again, Toyota leads a shit ton of laps. I saw, let me see if I can super quickly find it. Seriously Fast Media had made a post about, Joe Gibbs Racing led 383 of 500 laps, won both stages and the race yesterday, which is just absolutely insane. They have dominated the two short tracks we've had, which I think is of note. But again, let's take this race with a little bit of a grain of salt. But the Busch thing, thought he was going to struggle just in general. You know, he looked fast at points, but was he just overdriving the tires? We don't know. Obviously, he blows a tire, you know, earlier on in the race, hits the wall, has some issues, had issues again later. So had Gibbs over him, that cashed at minus 110. Had Chastain over him. I just lost the results, but I believe Chastain also did beat him.
Yeah, he finished 15th.
Chastain was 15th. And, you know, Kyle ends up 25th, which I know not a popular opinion, but that's kind of where we had him pegged to finish. That was one of the cut bets I put up. Do you think he's going to finish in the top 10? I took the no side of it. Not even close. And I mean, again, yeah, he looked fast at points, but were other people milking it, the tires, taking it easier, and he was just fast? I mean, Kaz Grala looked fast at one point because, like, I mean, really, to be honest, he did. And which, shout out to Kaz, because, shit, he finished in, 19th place in a Rick Ware car at Bristol. Like, that's like winning the championship for Rick Ware Racing. I mean, that's a hell of a day. He beats guys like Joey Logano and Kyle Busch, like, really just crazy.
Tyler Reddick even.
Crazy. Good for him. But again, just a shit show. So at least the Busch angle was right on this. Ty was very impressive. Again, I think that's of note. He led a ton of laps, wins both stages, his first career stage wins. Probably pushed the tires a little too hard at the end. Maybe should have conserved a little more like his veteran teammates, but he's only a sophomore, right? It's only his second season in the Cup Series. He's going to learn those things. And, bright future, like we've been saying for years on the show now.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, Gibbs, you could see it too in the way that he would overly just kind of get his car into position. And I mean, everybody else was kind of hanging back, and he was like, "Oh hell no, I'm going now." And so he would go, and he would go, and he would go. And then you would think, okay, well now he's in conservation mode. But no, it was not to be had, because he was just pushing the whole way through, which is why he ended up losing. But he's gonna learn. He's gonna learn those lessons, and when he does, he'll be in victory lane soon enough in the Cup Series, so definitely not that. JDK saying he didn't hit a single truck bet, but managed to make a ton back off the Cup and break even for the weekend. Way too much on outrights. I mean, listen, that's kind of the way we're doing it.
And that's what I was mentioning earlier. Like, and I know a lot of times I'll give out a lot of outrights because it's mostly a numbers game, right? It's if you're taking three or four guys at 6-1. They really have to win, and you've got to balance it outright to barely break even. Like, if you're getting, you know, a guy at 40-1 and a 25 and a 13 and a 12, like, then you're a little more covered, right? And you break your unit up properly. Again, everybody's got their own way, but Yeah, that's one of the biggest things, especially this season, is don't get too over invested in the outrights. I know some people are trying to chase the live bets all the time, and that's fun, but maybe not especially. How could you chase that this week, right? I mean, like six laps into the race, somebody asked who the fastest car was, and we're like, well, Hamlin, and that obviously pays off. But looking back, I shouldn't have made that bet. Like, look at how this race went. It pays off, but it wasn't necessarily a smart bet to make. So, it's crazy.
Yeah. My first bet was Carson Hocevar as a top 10 car. Boy, let me tell you, I wish that I would have gone the other way, because in me talking between Hocevar and Nemechek, like in my head, I had played the whole thing out, and I was like, well, Hocevar, much better right now. Looks a lot better than anybody else in that rookie camp or that sophomore camp other than Gibbs. And then he promptly goes out and posts a 27th place finish. 35th. He started 35th, finished 26th. Just nothing. Nothing for the field. Didn't get a top 10. Didn't even sniff the top 10. Was nowhere near it all day long.
But again, had this been a race like the fall, he did it in the fall, right? Or he was close to doing it in the fall.
He was 11th in the fall, yeah.
Yeah, hard to tell. I did have the Keselowski angle correct. Took him over Joey Logano. I fade Joey Logano, and then Joey starts really high in the race, and I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to pay for this. But that ended up working out. Keselowski beats Joey, minus 110. Keselowski top five, plus 200. Should have car lifted him, I guess. He ends up in third place. So, again, I what do you take away from this? It's hard to know what to take away. I hope that Keselowski would look good. He ends up being one of the old guys that's a veteran that knows how to race this type of race, does well, gets a solid day. So I'll take it. Again, you know, would he have been the best car if we had normal conditions? Who knows? Because we didn't have normal conditions.
Yeah.
So, but both of them cash. So again, I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the speed in the car, but again, you don't know what would have happened. Ah. McDowell, top 10, finishes 11th. He was a top 10 car pretty much all day long. I mean, McDowell was right there in it the whole way through. Huh?
So close.
Yeah, so close. I'm frustrated. I mean, yeah, I can't even say anything about it, because that last pit cycle basically took him out. He started 7th. He was running inside the top 10 for much of the race. And then, yeah, that very last run, I think it just pushed it too much on those tires, and he fell out of the top 10, so... McDowell, 11th place, did not cash top 10.
Ugh. Yeah, back to Keselowski, JDK saying he was, you know, plus 100 after qualifying. Again, good reason to be in the Discord. Producer Josh asked Sunday morning, he's got a boost. One bet you can place, what is it? And I said, Keselowski top 10. I was that confident in it. Obviously, we lucked out because of the circumstances, but he did it, and you got it. So, good price. I had AJ Allmendinger over... over Austin Dillon. I almost said Ty Dillon for some reason. Not the Truck Series race anymore. Rough-ish day for both of these guys. But, hey, the books were right on it. They finished back-to-back. This was a late in the race, because I think with five to go, Austin was ahead of AJ, and then they ended up switched by the end of the race. So, lucked out here. But AJ 23rd, Austin 24th. Again, thought Austin would struggle, like RCR has struggled, like he struggled on short tracks. And then AJ, I thought, had top 10 upside. I gave him out a plus 550 for a top 10. Again, had this been more of a normal, boring Bristol race, you know, I think he would have worked his way up there slowly, but extenuating circumstances. So just how it goes. But he did cash over Austin Dillon, which was nice.
Yeah, that definitely was not. everybody was talking about Austin Dillon, and, you know, I love the Discord for their utter hatred of Austin Dillon.
They're not fans. And I would like to point out, you know, I've been very light this season on the head-to-heads. I had four of them in this race, Rod, because the books gave us a ton of options, which already odds are out for this weekend at COTA. Superbook has like 30 head-to-head already listed, which is beautiful. Continue to do this, please. Surprising after we beat them this much last week. But, I went 4-for-4 on all of them. Again, I don't think you had any head-to-heads because I took them all. But this was the week that I loved the head-to-heads, and really, really panned out for me this week.
Indeed. Well, I had all the top 10s and top 5 bets. But, I had Bell as a top 5 car, minus 120. Bell was a top 5 car. Bell just couldn't hang on. 10th place finish for Christopher Bell. I mean, he was the one. He led 29 laps of this as well. Like, he was the one Gibbs Toyota.
The worst of the Gibbs cars.
At the end of the day.
And it was still solid. I mean, Gibbs was like had the top five. I think they had four in the top five, all four in the top five at one point, pretty late in the race. Like they were overall impressive. And again, hard to look too much. You just can't take much out of this. Like we hit some and it worked out great. We missed some and we don't really know if it was the correct bets to make because there was no way to handicap this. And again, I'll be very shocked if we see this race unfold this way again. I think that they're going to do too much to change it and try to make it not look like that. And it could end up being a boring race next time we're here, which is too bad because I say you leave it, bring back the same tire code next time and let's run it back. But So Noah Gragson, top 10 plus 275, gave him out his top Ford at 16-1. Also had his teammate Priest at top 10 at 8-1. Don't hate having any of these bets again. A little uncertain on how the day could have folded out if this worked out differently. I mean, Priest finishes 14th, so for being 8-1 for a top 10, I'll take getting that close to it. Tough day for Gragson. He ends up 34th. He ended up having some issues. I think he was one of them that blew a tire where there wasn't a caution, and so he got really far behind. But tough to measure. I will say SHR again looked like they had speed in practice and qualifying. Josh Berry, I believe, started on the front row.
Outside pole.
Was he second or was he third?
He was second.
So he was on the front row and took the lead actually early in the race. I think I commented in the Discord that of course Berry was going to lead 500 laps and was going to be the right play. Little did I know how the race would turn out. But I think that again, from what we've seen on the non-super speedways, stuff to be impressed with from SHR without trying to overreact too much to a small sample size.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a tough day for all those guys. If you weren't a Toyota in this race, you weren't doing anything.
When Fords seemed to struggle more, Keselowski kind of being the outlier because he ended up with a solid day, and Buescher was seventh. So surprise, Buescher not far behind Keselowski. But like Blaney had a rocket ship in practice and in qualifying. He ends up sitting on the pole, looked like he was going to be the guy to beat. But their tires just seemed to fall off a lot faster. I mean, Barry looked like he had a fast car. But he was falling off extremely quick. So I don't know if it seemed to me like the Fords struggled more. But again, how much can you really look at any of this? What does any of it mean? Does it mean anything? Should we completely zap this from our memory like a super speedway? I really have no idea what to take from all this.
Well, I'm about to zap it from my memory because I honestly don't think that they're going to try to make this happen again. I mean, we all enjoyed the racing. We did. We all enjoyed what it brought to the table. But I think there's too many drivers out there that are going to cry too much, and that's going to JDK well, saying.
But it seemed like the drivers liked it. Like a lot of the interviews, there's been a couple guys. Even I was listening to Door Bumper Clear earlier. I haven't finished the show, but they had Tyler Reddick on. He was five laps down, and he said he was having a blast out there. Like. The guys seem to like it, and this is what everybody's been asking for. Like, either give us more horsepower. We didn't have to use all the horsepower this week because the tire wear was so crazy. Give us more tire wear. So let's balance that out. Jack the horsepower up a little bit. Maybe slow the tire wear down a little. We should go more than 30 laps on tires. But let it continue to be wearing down. Let us have racing like that. I mean, again, betting, being able to handicap this type of race, and our bets ended up fine. But that set aside, like, such a great race. It was so entertaining. I loved it.
Yeah, and that's the theme of the weekend, entertainment. It really was entertaining. This was all just intriguing, and there was no, you know, assembly line of drivers and, lap after lap, this is boring. No, it was, I mean, there were drivers that led 100 laps, but boy, it was so much going on around there. JDK saying, no resin, same tire, run it back, let's see what happens. Just make sure the tire as the tire or do what F1 does. Give them four sets. I know that's the one thing I was thinking. I was thinking about
Rod's really big on the tire thing. He wants the different types compounds. Of tires. Make these guys work for it.
Yes.
Well, and then, but then you wonder, like, if you bring this exact same tire back in the fall, they're going to be here, I think, in September. It is going to be a night race, but it's going to be warmer. And like Denny Hamlin was commenting on the fact that he thinks over 65 degrees that the rubber is going to stick to the track. And that was the issue this weekend. The rubber didn't stick to the track like they thought it would because it wasn't quite warm enough. So if we bring this exact same tire back in the fall, is it a completely different race because the rubber rubbers into the track and changes everything? I mean, that's possible too. So even if they brought the exact same thing back, if you don't get the exact same track conditions, you might have 100% different results. Plus, you're going to have the truck race and Xfinity race before that. So that's going to have rubbered in more from the weekend. Like, so many variables of even just trying to recreate what we had this weekend that nobody knows. And do we, I think it was Denny that was commenting on somebody peed in the Goodyear tire rubber. Yeah. He said, does anybody even know what they did to give us this tire compound? Could they recreate it if they tried? Who knows?
Yeah, there's guys in a lab.
Somebody
right
missed
now.
A zero, a period somewhere. Somebody added too much of something. Like, who knows? Like, nobody really knows what happened.
Somebody's in the lab right now, going, "Where you got the film? Because we need to run it back and watch what the film's at." I don't even know.
Who knows? But
yeah, Larson is a top three car. Larson was a top five car. He was not a top three car. He was a top three car at the end of stage one. Was not at the end of stage two. However, I will say that. The whole tire strategy is of mining the tires. That's really what it ended up being for Kyle Larson. Cause I feel like if he would have pushed, he could have made a run for the top three.
Well, it felt like he was saving. Like I thought he was going to come on just so strong at the end, because it felt like he was being overly conservative and overly trying to save it. And then all of a sudden you were going to see him just flip the switch and boom. But like he never flipped the switch and boom, like he just kind of stayed there. And it felt like he was lurking and ready to go. And then he never actually went.
Yeah. He did lead 19 laps in this race too, as well. And it was toward the middle. That was before all of the Toyotas decided to just call game and continue to stay at the top. But, you know, he led laps in this race and he was competitive. And I feel like he should have been a top three car at the end of the day, but we never really got to see that full potential of the five car.
Yeah, I agreed. And again, just how this race panned out, it is what it is. Had Chastain top 10, minus 120. He only ends up in 15th. He starts 36th, though, after issues in qualifying. Again, what can we take out of this? I really don't know.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for Chastain. The dude really had to come back from the absolute back of the pack. There was no and it was so hard.
I mean, he went from 36th to 27th in like two laps. Like he was just flying again past the back marker, so it's hard to measure too much. But like he found his way through the field, but then all the tire issues and all the other deals, like it just impossible to know what would have happened. And again, I think his number was a lot bigger than this post qualifying, because obviously nobody expected him to start 36. But that's just how this weekend went. So we'll take the ones we got, and ones like this, it's like, what do you do?
Speaking of ones we got, this one was never in doubt, ever in doubt. I'm trying to figure out how long into the race that it actually...
I was wondering if this was just missed, because it was drivers to lead a lap at 6.5. What, did they mean to put lead changes at 65? Because that was the record, Rod.
54
for
lead
short
changes.
Track lead changes. Just crazy.
Yeah. 54 lead changes in this one. And there was 13 or 16 different drivers that led a lap in this. They were off by 10.
Blew this out of the water.
Oh my God. So look, I can even tell you right now that it took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It took 41 laps for this to get blown up. Blaney led from the first two laps.
No cash.
No, Josh.
Oh, no sweat.
Josh Berry led from lap 3 to 20. Hamlin led from 21 to 25, Elliott 26, Tyler Reddick 27 to 30, Bubba 31 to 40, Josh Berry killed it 41 to 47, and then Bubba Wallace took the lead back again, which wasn't a different leader. But that was it, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, it just ends. I mean, but again, and we were commenting in the Discord before the race, like, there's a good chance this is going to be single file, follow the leader, boring race. Anything but that. So
no.
Outright segment. Really, I was happy with the outrights that I got this week. I had Keselowski to win the pole. He didn't do it. Ended up being a Ford. So I guess, do I get bonus points for that? I don't know. Keselowski 17th, not anywhere close. But had Keselowski to win 14-1, ends up in third place. Again, if this is a more normal race, do we get a different result? Who knows? Ty Gibbs, overly impressive, 15-1. I would take that again. Tyler Reddick at 15-1. This one, Rod, I mean, he looked okay early. He has the strategy call right, and I heard him talking about that and saying that's the type of call they would make at a normal Bristol, flip the strategy, get himself the track position. Obviously was not aware of the tire fall off at that point. He spins out from the lead, and Rod, and then like we count to 10, and Jennifer Jo Cobb is calling. I don't know if you remember her from the truck series. Oh my God, full speed. There goes Zane Smith finally hitting Tyler Reddick. What the fuck are we doing? Like full speed, 45 minutes after Tyler Reddick spun out, he hits him. What the fuck is going on, Rod? Like that just killed Reddick's day. I mean, he didn't really have a chance after that. So, dirt track type of guy, old tires. I mean, that might have been worked out perfectly for him if he had a chance. But Zane Smith just, I mean, literally it was like slow motion. I'm like, no, 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 no. And he just wham. And I'm like, what the, you're not even going that fast to Bristol on these old tires. Like, what are we doing? But that was my Zane Smith comments that I said I would save for later. So, and then Ryan Preece at 300 to 1. Look, if I'd have known this race was going to be this way, I'd have had more long shot bets like that. Holy shit. Cause yeah. But again, 14th place for a 300 to 1. That's not bad. Hard to look at that. I think if you're getting a driver in higher tier equipment at 300 to 1 on a track like this, a short track guy, you can't pass up on a number like that. So I would take that bet again as well.
Zane Smith was texting, man, this is a crazy race. Oh my God, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't even see you.
You know, Cody, I sometimes think people forget that I actually do know what I'm talking about every once in a while. I understand that I, you know, aw shucks a lot, and then I don't necessarily feel like sometimes the authoritative figure in the room, and that, you know, sometimes what I say may be for fun and not necessarily to try to win you money. But God bless it, guys. I really do know what I'm talking about.
And you're just a single dark guy. You don't. I'm looking for all this value. I'm like strategizing, taking all these big numbers. Rod just comes in. Yeah, Denny Hamlin. Let's go. That's it. Walks away. Boom. He just walks by the slot machine, hits the lever. Ding 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 ding.
I'm the guy that like you've been trying for 3 hours on that machine. You walk away.
I'm like over here, like, okay, you got to pull the lever, then wait 4 seconds, do it again, then push this one. And Rod just like, okay, win.
I throw the quarter in and all of a sudden I hit the jackpot. But no, listen, honestly, so for Denny Hamlin, this race, it played out in a way that I think this was his race. It was the strategy calls. It was the speed. It was knowing when to push and when to back off. And listen, when we talk about it, and I love it too, because the NASCAR show kind of highlighted it as well. It's the stuff we've been saying forever. Denny knows when he has the feel of the race. Like Denny has the flow. Sometimes it doesn't work in his favor and, you know, it doesn't always end up the way he wants it to. But Denny feels the energy of the room, of the racetrack. And so he knew that it was time to go. He knew that it was time to save. And anybody that would try to come up at the end, especially with Ty Gibbs pushing him to at the end, him and the 54 kind of trading shots back and forth, he would let him go. He's like, okay, fine, go ahead. Ty, go use your stuff up for a little bit. I'll be here. I'll be 0.9 seconds behind you, and I won't try to get in front of you. I won't try to get too far behind you. I'm just going to stay right in this cushion and do it. And so for Denny, I mean, this was exactly the kind of race that he was ready to win. And I picked him to win before I knew all of this stuff was going to happen. He led 163 laps, the most laps led by any driver in this race. But he just knew. Like, Denny knew how to win this race. He had all of the experience that he needed to win this specific kind of race. And I think that didn't necessarily go into my handicap because obviously I was just looking at his finishes and how well he's been running so far this season and factored that in. But boy, let me tell you, I was so glad to have been on Denny this week. I can't tell you right now.
Yeah, it was a great call by you. And he's been, back-to-back wins for him here. He won the fall race here last fall. And shows up, and you get into this type of situation. There's not really many other guys besides Denny Hamlin that you want to have, you know, in control of your bet when it ends up being a situation like this. So, great call by you, and it cashes. So, again, that if you were going to take one of the favorites, you had to pick one, ride with them, and you nailed it. So, shout out to you, Rod.
I got one thing right this week that was great. Which, you know, what's funny to me, though, is that Matt
still wasn't as big as your top five in the truck race.
No, that's what I'm saying. Crafton's 8-1 was bigger than Denny's 5.5-1, but whatever. I'll take it when I can get it. So,
I don't want to move on to Coda too much, but I do want to answer Walter's question here from a little bit ago. They announced early full cautions at Coda this weekend at the end of stage breaks. How do we feel this will affect gambling? So they're bringing back the stage cautions at the end of the thing. The biggest thing that you take from this is stage bets. If you want to play stage bets, you scroll to the bottom of the points board and you look for guys that need points. Joey Logano has moved up to 26th. guys that need points and won't win this race. Joey Logano needs points, not going to win this race. He is the perfect type of guy that's going to stay out, that's going to collect the 10 points for winning the stage, get that playoff point because he's probably going to make the playoffs, right? And slowly work his way back up here. You're going to look for guys like Brad Keselowski, who are just inside of the bubble. Not a very great – he's been close to winning on a road course before, right? But not really a great road course racer these days when we're looking at it. Going to be out there, staying out there, trying to get those points. You look at his teammate, Chris Buescher. He's the type of guy that's probably going to be in the mix for this race. Probably not going to gamble at the end of the stages. But they're going to flip the stages. We'll talk about it more tomorrow and all three betting shows probably this weekend. But you're going to have lots of guys flipping the stages. That's going to upset the apple cart in different ways. I was a fan of no stage breaks at these, but you know NASCAR's gone back to it, so is what it is. And yeah, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, but wanted to at least touch on that.
Yeah, I mean they were like, well, we're going to bring tires that only last four laps, and we'll see how everybody goes. So, all right. Well then, Cody, we'll put Bristol behind us, and this race in particular behind us forever. Now, granted, I'm going to love it. It's an instant classic. I'll watch it again, but.
Get out the pen and forget about everything we learned about betting this weekend because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It just if you managed to profit, good for you. If you didn't, that's a lesson. We'll just move on to Coda next week. But
exactly.
All right, Cody. Well, then, as we take our leave for Texas, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Yep. Follow me over on the X at Husker_Zeeb. You can find all my stuff over there. Guy, if you're into the basketball, the March Madness is going on, right? Of course, starting this week. I've got a article out for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Breaks down the East region. UConn, of course, the number one seed over there, but it's got some picks in there as far as my best bet on the first round of games, who I'm taking to win that region and get to the Final Four. It's got some upset plays in there, all kinds of fun stuff, so make sure you check that out. And let's win some money on basketball while we're at it. So I got some more stuff. I got a upset picks and parlays for the entire first round that's coming out probably this evening or tomorrow morning at the latest. So check that out as well. And we've got a loaded slate this week, Rod. Trucks at COTA, Xfinity at COTA, Cup at COTA, F1 is back. I don't remember where they're at, but they're somewhere. IndyCar is going to be doing their exhibition race for $1 million. That's interesting. We might end up having to throw some bets on cut to get any action on that, but we'll do it anyways. So yeah, loaded week. Join us all week. It's going to be a fun time, and let's go win some money road course racing.
Indeed. Yes. Follow me on Twitter at RJ Villagomez. Link in the bottom, everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review, which by the way, I did get double down on Denny Hamlin on that article as well. So, you know, not just giving it out here, but giving it out everywhere else too. And then of course the in-between media folks and myself included will be back on the back road coming up this week. So, all right, road racing, COTA. We'll be back tomorrow with more of it. Until then, let's go racing and let it ride.